Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. Now around the holiday season, we always run a couple of best of editions of Drive Time Sports, and we're going to start that trend today. Now plenty of great segments to recap from earlier this week, and that's what we'll do. We'll mix it up between local and national sports. We did catch up with Coach Todd Jeffs a little earlier in the week to talk some Emory High School boys basketball. The boys have been so much fun to watch. If you have not watched an Emory High School boys basketball game yet this year, I highly recommend it. They get up the floor, high scoring. They can shoot the lights out. I'm talking about numerous kids on this team. They can run 8-9 deep and shoot the lights out. We talked to Coach Jeffs about the early portion of the season as the team prepares for the Christmas break. Also, earlier this week, Kobe Bryant, Los Angeles Laker legend, had not one but two numbers retired, kind of the final goodbye to the Black Mamba. And I'll be honest, Laker basketball right now, it's just not the same without Kobe Bryant, but it looked good seeing two numbers into the rafters. We had a conversation about the career of Kobe Bryant. We'll get to that interview segment, I should say, with Jameson Welsh, great friend of mine. He joined me earlier on in the week. And gearing up for a busy weekend of college football, Antoine Staley writes for the USA Today and also Athlon Sports. He joined us earlier in the week to give us a college football rundown. He votes for the Heisman. We talked about Baker Mayfield. Was it right that Baker Mayfield won the Heisman Trophy? That was a fun and relevant conversation as well. So all that and more is coming up straight ahead here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. It's the best of Drive Time Sports when we return.
Sutherland's has the solution for all your last-minute gifts. We have great gifts at great prices for DIYers and contractors alike. Save over 50% on winter work coats. Right now, only $16.99. Or save $100 on a 10-inch DeWalt job site table saw with a rolling foldable stand. Visit our Dollar Center today. We have over 100 great tools that work perfectly for stocking stuffers for only $1. No matter your budget, Sutherland's has the perfect gift at a great price. Sutherland's, helping you build it better.
Castleview Hospital would like to thank the 2017 Castleview Board of Trustees for all their hard work and dedication in making the community healthier. Thank you to Lamar Guyman, Scott Justison, MD, Glenn Etzel, MD, Eric Lyman, MD, John Pressett, MD, Bryce Briner, Errol Holt, CEO Mark Holyoke, Mike Jensen, and Colleen Loveless. Your hospital and the community you serve appreciate all that you do.
Feeling stressed out lately? It might be because of your slow internet connection. According to recent studies, delays in loading web pages and videos increase our heart rate and produce a level of stress equivalent to watching a horror film. Let Emory Telcom help reduce your stress level. With eFiber from Emory Telcom, you'll get the highest internet speeds available. Internet speeds up, stress levels down. Fast downloads and TV like no other. Lower your stress level today and call Emory Telcom, 613-9605.
Hi, this is Joe Peterson, the Chancellor of USU Eastern. I'm here to brag about an amazing student we have representing USU Eastern. Chandler Vincent is a welding student here at USU Eastern. He recently flew to Huntsville, Alabama to compete in the U.S. Open Welding Trials. After 4 days of nonstop welding, Chandler was named the USA World Skills Welding Champion. With this title, Chandler won $40,000 in tools and scholarships from the American Welding Society. Congratulations, Chandler. For more stories about the incredible students that we have here at USU Eastern, see our website, usueastern.edu.
With winter just around the corner, golfing is one sport that just doesn't come to mind. But at TK's Pro Shop, winter is the perfect time to stock up on golfing accessories for Christmas. Just because you can't golf doesn't mean you can't be ready to. Stop into TK's Pro Shop at the Carbon Country Club.
You were listening to the best of Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. We're going to talk college football for this segment. We're counting down. We're actually a week away from the Utah Utes Bowl game, which you'll be able to listen to live right here on KOAL. But there's also several other topics floating around. And joining us to talk college football, we have Antoine Staley of the USA Today and also Athlon Sports. Antoine, it's always a pleasure to get you on the show. I appreciate the time today.
It's good to be on, Jordan. Thanks for having me again.
Definitely. Antoine, you have a vote for the Heisman. I haven't talked to you since the Heisman ceremony. Baker Mayfield wins the Heisman. No surprise there. What's your response to the reaction of the public knowing that Baker Mayfield has now won the Heisman? Because it was kind of a mixed reaction from the public, which I guess was to be expected, right?
Yeah, especially considering some of the answers that he had on the field. I think a lot of people, I know we had talked about that in particular, and he had some off-the-field stuff previously as well. The Heisman is a kind of representation of the face of college football, at least for that particular year. So I think it was a segment of the public that didn't think he deserved to win it. I usually leave it on the field. I thought Baker Mayfield was the best player in college football this year, and he was well-deserving, and that's who I voted for as well. So I had no problem with putting him number one on the ballot, to be completely honest with you.
I think it was pretty easy, actually. I mean, again, it depends on how you view it. Like, if you view the on-the-field antics as a detriment, obviously you're not going to vote for Baker Mayfield. If your main objective is to vote for the best player in college football, you had no choice but to vote for Baker Mayfield. So I can see both sides of the argument.
Yeah, I think it's definitely. You had Lamar Jackson there, Bryce Love. I voted for both of them second and third. But ultimately, I mean, you got Baker Mayfield there. And also the fact that Oklahoma is in the college football playoff rather than playing Georgia. So also you have to look at that factor as well. Where would Oklahoma be without Baker Mayfield? Definitely not in the college football playoff, I don't think. And you had Stanford. I mean, I know they had a decent season, but it wasn't nothing outstanding like Oklahoma or some of the teams in the playoff. And Louisville, I mean, they definitely had it. They were at a down year, especially considering they had a much better year a year ago, and they only had one loss heading into their last two games, and then they kind of had like a struggle throughout the last season. They lost to Kentucky, lost their bowl game to LSU, so they were kind of down then, but their season was definitely disappointing compared to how it was last year. So I just feel like, I know it's kind of like some people look at it as the MVP type award as well. But in the end, Oklahoma really performed well on the field. And also Baker Mayfield was a big part of that.
Again, we're being joined right now by Antoine Staley of Athlon Sports and also the USA Today as we talk college football. Antoine, I want to move on and talk about a different topic. It's really interesting. I think if you talk to 10 people, you may get five different opinions on this. We'll go to the Las Vegas Bowl. Royce Freeman was such an interesting character in this game because Freeman decided he wasn't going to play in the contest, didn't want to play in the Vegas Bowl, but he was there on the sidelines, and he was actually giving his team a prep talk. I'm curious as to your opinion on Royce Freeman and his decision.
I mean, I don't have a problem. I know some people have a problem with players not playing in a bowl game. I don't. If you're playing, first of all, if you're a senior or whether you're a junior, whatever the case may be, and you're going on to the NFL where you have to protect your investment, and your investment is your body. And we've seen freak injuries happen on the field during some of these games. Sometimes senior bowl, things of that nature, people get hurt. So you don't want to risk that injury. I'm not saying a meaningless game. Obviously, a bowl. I love the bowl system. I love the bowl season. I think it's great for college football. But these players are playing sometimes, I mean, for a bigger prize. And you have to look at it from their perspective, too. They may have family members that are also dependent on them to make it in the league and to make money for them. I don't have a problem with Freeman deciding to skip the bowl game. As far as this pep talk, I thought it was great just to give those players that motivation to go out and win, because I think those players still respect him. They still understand he has bigger dreams, and I'm not he has bigger aspirations in the NFL, and he's really trying to make sure he doesn't get hurt prior to that. So I really don't have a big problem with it. I know it's been a controversial topic, but yeah, I really understand it from their point of view.
The only thing I have a problem with, he's not the only player on that Oregon team with a chance to go to the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. That's definitely true. Me personally, I think they should play in the bowl game. But if somebody decided, oh, okay, I'm not going to play in the bowl game, then that's fine, too. I think it's a personal decision. I don't think you're seeing – it's not a wave where you're seeing a lot of players are doing it. I just think it's certain select players have decided that's what they're going to do. But, yeah, I get that perspective, too, because it's going to be other players from Oregon that are going to play in the NFL, too. It's just that they want to play in the bowl game, maybe improve your stock as well. I think playing in the bowl game, you're on a different – I mean, you're in a showcase game, especially that Saturday afternoon spot, and you're giving people opportunities to see you play, and that might improve your draft stock, too.
Let's look at some of the bowl games that we've had already. We had the Vegas Bowl. We had the RL Carriers New Orleans Bowl. We had the Cure Bowl. We had the New Mexico Bowl. We've had the Camellia Bowl. Out of those games, which ones have you watched, and which one was most entertaining to you?
I definitely was keeping an eye on the Las Vegas Bowl there, even though Boise State pretty much commanded the entire game. So I definitely kept an eye on the Troy North Texas game. That was crazy. Troy ended up putting up 50 points, and North Texas got a little bit closer in that one. And then Middle Tennessee State and Arkansas State, the Camellia Bowl, that was also entertaining as well. I mean, I watched them all. Al Marshall ended up beating Colorado State in the New Mexico Bowl. So I think, for the most part, the bowl games have been really entertaining. I know a lot of people really focus on the big-time games, but we got some entertaining possible games. We got a game tonight, actually, the Boca Raton Bowl between FAU and Akron. That could be entertaining. I know FAU has been a story that people are keeping an eye on. They've won 10 games. Of course, Lane Kiffin is big in the news. That's a game that's on ESPN, so you can definitely tune in there and kind of see what's been going on with the Owls program.
You talked about improving draft stock. The Wyoming Central Michigan Idaho Potato Bowl, that features a kid that's probably going to be a top 10 pick in the NFL draft that could definitely help his case on the national scale.
Yeah, you got Josh Allen there. He plans to play in the bowl game. I think he should play in the bowl game. I mean, I know he's dealt with a shoulder injury through a lot of the season, but he wants to improve his stock. He wants to be one of the top quarterbacks taken. And a lot of people talk about Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen, and some people kind of sprinkling Lamar Jackson and also Baker Mayfield. So he's kind of lost some traction that he had at the beginning of the year, but. Yeah, I think it's important for him to play, and he understands that this would be the last opportunity to improve his draft stock. So I think that's why he's deciding to play, and that's the benefit of having these bowl games on a showcase platform where you don't have another game or it's not a whole lot of other college football games going on at the same time.
Saturday, we got a great slate of games. Texas Tech, South Florida, and the Birmingham Bowl. That's a very, very entertaining game, Antoine. San Diego State, Army, again, I love that contest. And then we get Appalachian State, Toledo. Saturday's a good day for college football.
Yeah, absolutely. That's definitely a day you definitely want to tune in. They usually put a whole lot of college football games on the slate on a Saturday. So I'm definitely looking forward to a lot of those games. You mentioned South Florida. And I'm having a disappointing loss to Central Florida at the end of the year. You know, I think it's going to be a lot of points scored in that one. San Diego State Army, obviously, last time we saw Army, they defeated Navy for the second straight year. Appalachian State Toledo in the Dollar General Bowl. Some of these bowl games just kind of blow my mind. you definitely have some good matchups there. Definitely looking forward to. And also on Christmas Eve, you have Fresno State versus Houston in the Hawaii Bowl. It's no Sunday night football game in the NFL this week, so they'll have this platform all to themselves.
Yeah, I try to tell people with the bowl games, all we have to hope for is a great matchup. That's it. I mean, throw the name out. We just need a good matchup.
Yeah, and you just want to be entertained. And a lot of these games are high-scoring games. It's hard to get a gauge for these teams, and there's really not a lot of defense being played anyway. And, you know, the teams that you have playing in these games don't particularly, especially early on, play defense really well. So you end up getting matchups like a North Texas toy game or very high-scoring. So I fully expect especially the Birmingham Bowl. I think it's going to be a high-scoring affair. I wouldn't be surprised if both teams score in the 40s.
Antoine, before I let you go, I want to talk Pac-12 here for a moment. It was recently announced that Herm Edwards is now the head coach of Arizona State. It's been a long time since Herm Edwards has coached college football, and I know that the recruiting game is changing almost daily. That's why this was a surprise to me. Your thoughts on Herm Edwards going to Arizona State?
It's interesting. It's something completely out the box. I know a lot of people, some people thought Matt Graham shouldn't have been fired. They thought he should have been given another year. At the upset victory over number 5 Washington at the time. I'm curious to see how that's going to go, especially considering Herm has not really coached anything in about a decade. So now you have him throwing in the mix college football, something that he's not coaching college football, I think, since the late 80s or something like that. So now it's a recruiting game. I know he does a well talk to the players. He was with Elite Eight camps and really motivating players. But getting players to come and buy into your system is a whole completely different animal and something that he hasn't done in a very long time. And you know, you're dealing in an animal with the Pac-12 where you have a USC. You have UCLA with Chip Kelly now. Even Arizona with Rich Rodriguez is there. So it's going to be interesting to see how this works out and how much time Arizona State gives him to bring in his program.
When's the last time a conference had this much intrigue around the coaching carousel during an offseason? I can't recall.
No, it's been a while. I'm curious to see what Chip Kelly does out there at UCLA. We know what he did in Oregon, really put them, well, got them to another level. I feel like they were good anyway, but brought them to a level that had them competing for national championships, obviously. Think about 2010 when they played Cam Newton and Auburn. Now, you even got them on the other side. You have a lot of star-studded talent as far as coaching. Obviously, you still have Chris Peterson in Washington, Mike Leach at Washington State. It's definitely star-studded, and it's going to be something that people keep their eye on this year. I already watched Pac-12 After Dark anyway on ESPN, so it's definitely going to keep my eye, especially if you have Arizona State on there, just to keep an eye on what Herm Edwards and Chip Kelly is doing out there at UCLA.
We'll end with this, Antoine. I'm still of the mindset of it being a Clemson-Georgia national championship with Georgia coming out on top. Still got time to change that. But your thoughts, your early predictions on the national championship since we have you on.
Right now I would tend to lean that way. I hadn't made an official prediction, which I'm going to have to in the upcoming days. But, yeah, I think Clemson, to me, they're a better team than Alabama. Alabama just has the name. Obviously, Nick Saban's won 5 national championships, most of them being with Alabama. So that's why they're the favorite. But I feel like Clemson is just, they're clicking. We saw it up there in Charlotte with Miami. They just pretty completely dominated the Hurricanes. And I know Alabama's a better team than Miami, but I think this is just their time. And this Clemson team might even be better than the one that won the title last year. That's how scary it is. And looking at Georgia, what they did just kind of suffocated that Auburn offense the second time they played them. And now you're playing a team in Oklahoma that really doesn't play defense as well. I don't think they play defense as well as Auburn. And they like to score a lot of points, but this Georgia's defense is one of the best in the country, and they're going to look at some other Baker Mayfield, and I think they're going to be able to do it. So I think if you put a gun to my head, forcing me to make a pick right now, that's kind of what I would go. I think Clemson is going to win the national championship for the second straight year, but it wouldn't be surprised me if Georgia would have won it too, especially considering how great their defense is.
Antoine, before I let you go, let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Athlon Sports, also at USA Today, covering the Dolphins, covering their last 2 games of the season, barring a miracle of them getting into the playoffs. But yeah, you can find my work there. We're covering bowl games, doing team awards right now for each individual team. So you can check out my work there, Athlon Sports, and also USA Today. Also find me on Twitter at Antoine Salis.
Hey, you just told your followers the other day not to mention the Dolphins in the playoffs, and you gave it a plug.
I just say barring a miracle. Yeah, barring a miracle. I never was on that bandwagon to begin with, but after they won the Patriots game, people were like, we got a chance. I was like, let them beat Buffalo first, and then we'll start talking. But obviously that didn't happen. But they are mathematically still alive.
Yeah.
Going ahead into Kansas City on Sunday.
Antoine, it's always fun to get you on the show. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Jordan.
We got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return.
Hello, this is Dr. Blake Hillstead from Castle Valley Orthodontics. We are a state-of-the-art orthodontic office specializing in braces and Invisalign for children, teenagers, and adults. We provide complimentary consultations to help you achieve the best smile possible. We accept most insurance plans in Carbon and Emory counties and also accept all Medicaid insurance plans. In addition, we offer flexible in-house financing at 0% interest to make orthodontic treatment fit within any budget. Call for a free consultation with me, Dr. Blake Hillstead, at 435-637-2222.
Mom guilt. We all feel it. Our after-school hours are packed with games, practices, lessons, homework. Between work, grocery shopping, laundry, cleaning the house, how do you do it all and still get a delicious meal on the table every night? Moms, it's time to let it go. KFC has dinner covered. Pick up an 8-piece meal deal tonight. KFC's Extra Crispy $20 fill-up has 8 pieces of crunchy Extra Crispy chicken, a large coleslaw, 4 biscuits, and 2 large mashed potatoes and gravy. Enough for the whole family. Feed the family and make it to all your events, too. With KFC, it's always a win-win.
At Castleview Physical Therapy, they know your health is very important to you. That is why they take pride in offering you the highest quality of rehabilitation. Castleview is the only clinic in the area to be able to offer aquatic therapy. Their warm water pool is inviting and effective in providing a safe method to heal injuries. They are happy to offer this service that has been proven to be one of the best rehab environments to make exercise safer, more relaxing, and less painful. Come in and see how Castleview's aquatic therapy can help make your road to recovery a pleasant one. Call Castleview Physical Therapy today at 636-4841.
You are listening to the best of Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 7:50 with Jordan Buscarini.
They're running down a dream that never would come to me. Running down a dream.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 7:50 AM. Big night in the NBA, especially if you're a Los Angeles Laker fan. Take it one step further. If you're a basketball fan, tonight Kobe Bryant will be immortalized at the Staples Center. He'll retire not one, but two of his jerseys. Number 8, number 24 will hang into the rafters. A legendary rafter, to say the least, when you look at some of the names. We're going to talk about that and more right now with our next guest, Jameson Welsh of BelieveTheHypeNBA.com. Jameson, always a pleasure to get you on. Thank you.
Oh, not a problem. Thanks for having me, as always. Much appreciated.
Definitely. Had to get you on today because really looking at it, and this is kind of sad, but this is probably the last relevant, without going abstract, conversation that we will have about Kobe Bryant in sports talk radio. I mean, legitimately thinking about it, we'll always have the conversations about the greatest of, or you know, the best of his generation, or all-time greats. But when you look at relevant stories to the game of basketball in today's current game, this is probably the last day we have a chance to talk about Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, I mean, unless he buys a team or, you know, gets part ownership of the Lakers one of these days, yeah, you're probably right, because he's not going to be a GM, he's not going to be a coach, he's not going to come back and play. Yeah, I really see that this is probably until he buys a team or buys something to do with the Lakers, whether it's something small ownership here and there or whatever. So that's pretty much what it's going to be. But in terms of the Lakers, I mean, hey, he pretty much dedicated half his life towards the Lakers and their fan base. So, you know, there's no complaints at all. Kobe is a one of a kind guy through all the greatness and all the downfalls. He's the best. He's the best I've ever seen in my lifetime. I mean, that may change shortly with some of the guys that are coming up, but from day one to day in, he's the best I have seen to this point. Again, there's some guys coming, but from what I've seen with my two eyes, he's been the best thus far.
Yeah, I'm glad that that's the way you word that, because this has kind of been my approach to it. I'm a little bit biased when it comes to Kobe Bryant. In fact, I have a daughter named Kobe. I love the Los Angeles Lakers, and I love Kobe Bryant. With that being said, for a player whose career I have been able to watch front to back, I've never seen anyone better. Now, you always have the conversation of who is the greatest of all time. Especially in our field, it's always a hot topic. And it's always funny to me how we compare players that we never got to watch front to back. I mean, we can sit here, we can talk about Michael Jordan. Look, his career went beyond my life. So I didn't get to watch all of Michael Jordan's career. I didn't get to watch all of Magic Johnson's career. I didn't get to watch all of Larry Bird's or Dr. J. I didn't get to watch any of Wilt Chamberlain. I got to watch the tail end of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I mean, I'm throwing out some of the greats of all time. For a player that I've been able to watch front to back, and I'm talking over the last 30 years, nobody has been better than Kobe Bryant in this 30-year span, and I will argue with anyone on that.
I mean, you definitely have an argument. I mean, he's done a lot of good things where you can really have a supporting argument. I mean, I know a lot of people are going to throw LeBron's name up. The one thing I would say is LeBron's career is not over quite yet. He's having an amazing run. He's doing some things we've done before. And if he keeps going on the path he's going, he's probably going to have, you know, people are going to think of him the same way we think of Kobe in terms of the best they've ever seen. Hey, he may be a lot of people's best they've ever seen. But from what I've seen from day one to day end, to me, it's Kobe. Now, again, that could change. There's some guys coming up that are extremely good as well. I mean, Kevin Durant is having an amazing career as well. He's halfway in, you know, and with the way he's going on the team he's going, he has a chance to do some extraordinary stuff as well. So there's a couple of guys coming up, but, I mean, Kobe is a guy that these guys modeled their game after and took notes after. So it's kind of, you know, it's kind of how things go. I mean, Kobe was the guy that took the ball from Michael, you know, in terms of not just being the best player in the league, but being the guy that people wanted to be like, they wanted to emulate. He's the guy that the kids, the premier guys, they pretty much modeled their game after and try to be like. And that's when you see the LeBrons and then you see the Durants and then you see all the other guys coming after that. And that's kind of how basketball goes. That's how the game, that's how the game evolves. And it's a beautiful thing.
You talk about Kobe and then comparing him to LeBron or KD, you know, guys that are coming up now, and people are going to say, look, that's the greatest that I ever seen, you know, LeBron or KD. Tonight, to me, it's very symbolic having two jerseys up there over this guy's career, because when you see number 8 and you see number 24, this is one of the things that will always separate Kobe from LeBron, from KD, from D-Wade, from whoever it is, whoever you want to compare Kobe to. You want to compare him to MJ, you want to compare him to Magic, Bird, I don't care who, whoever you want to compare him to. When he has two numbers up there in the rafters, they literally represent two completely different careers. It's almost as if you were a movie director and you had, you know, director A handle the first, I don't know, hour of a movie and director B handle the second half of the movie. You're going to get two different visions. That's how I look at number 8 and 24. And one of the things that separates Kobe from everyone else, at least in my eyes, is the fact that this guy stuck it out with one team, even through ups and downs, demanding a trade, really not trusting the front office, having a different vision. He stuck it out. He played 20 years with one team. And it doesn't matter what great we talk about, Jameson. I can't think of another great who stuck it out and won two championships with two completely different cores. It's just unheard of, especially in today's game. I mean, look, LeBron has bounced around from team to team, leaving Cleveland to go to Miami to win a ring, coming back to a very good group in Cleveland to win a ring. KD couldn't get over the hump. He had to go join a few other All-Stars. Kobe stuck it out with one franchise, and he won multiple championships with two different cores. It's unheard of.
It's very impressive, especially in this era where you have free agency and, you know, you have guys going from team to team. And, you know, basically the norm is to go to a different team if things don't work out, to go to a different team. But at the same time, you know, Kobe comes from the same era that Tim Duncan and Dirk come from, where if you're on a team and you have pretty good ownership, you kind of stick it out. You know, I can't blame the players here, because most players don't have the chance to play for the Lakers. The Lakers, you know, up until recently have had the best, you know, organization front office-wise and personnel-wise. You know, it was the Lakers. It's the best brand in basketball. So, you know, the things were pretty solid and stable up front for a very long time throughout his team there. A lot of players can't say the same. That's one of the best things about being a Lakers. You get treated like royalty, and it's a great organization. Now, some things change over the last few years, and things are getting back on track. But, you know, there are some times when things were kind of rocky, like you mentioned. It looks like things are getting, you know, back to normal. But I can't fault anyone for leaving if there's a bad situation. And, hey, Kobe almost left. There was a chance where there's a couple of deals on the table where he could have left. He could have said, hey, you know, I'm going to Chicago. You know, like, we're going to get Luol Deng and Ben Gordon and a couple other guys and some picks or whatever. And I think there's a trade with Detroit with, like, Rip Hamilton and some picks and some other player. Like, so there was things, but at the end of the day, it stuck out, and the Lakers made it work. He made it work, and it was best for everyone involved, because the Lakers aren't the same without Kobe and vice versa. The two go together, for better or for worse, they go together. And it's a 20-year marriage that really, well, beyond 20 years, but it's a 20-year relationship that has pretty much, you know, he's endeared himself to all the fans and people of Los Angeles and the people who rep the fan base across the world.
Again, our guest right now is Jameson Welsh of BelieveTheHypeNBA.com. You mentioned Tim Duncan. I'm going to throw Dirk Nowitzki in that category as well. With the way the NBA has changed, and I like to call it the fraternity mindset, It's not an us versus them type deal anymore. It's a family. Players are a family. It doesn't seem like the loyalty for players necessarily lies within the organization as it does with each other. Some of the guys that they grow up around. And look, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. It's not what I grew up watching. But at the same time, you have kids coming into the league now, 18, 19 years old. They turn into men with these kids that they come into the league with, if that makes sense. So, again, I'm not saying anything negative about the fraternity mindset. But when we see Kobe's 8-24 go up tonight, there are two other jerseys that will signify the end of an era in the NBA, and that's Tim Duncan and Dirk Nowitzki. Outside of these three players, I don't know that we ever see a superstar spend upwards of 20 years with a franchise and make significant contributions in the process, such as five championships if we're talking about Kobe, or if we're talking about Duncan, or a championship if we're talking about Dirk Nowitzki. These three guys signify the end of an era in the NBA.
You're correct. But also remember, those three guys played for the Lakers, the Spurs, and the Mavericks. All those front offices have great track records in terms of stability, in terms of knowing how to put together a roster, knowing how to put together a franchise, and being contenders for most of the time they were there. I mean, the Spurs have been contenders for 20 years. Same thing with the Mavericks. For the most part, up until recently, they've been in the playoffs. They had a streak of like 16 or 17 years of being in the playoffs, when before it was like the opposite. They hadn't made the playoffs for like 15 or 16 years. So they had, you know, those two other teams were very, very solid, and those two teams really had a foundation from the top on down. And we don't see that enough in the league because there's not enough owners who are dedicated to putting a quality basketball product on the court. However, there's one guy you didn't mention that is the new age version that has a chance.
Russell Westbrook.
And that's Dirk. To Steph Curry.
Steph Curry. Okay. I could see that. I could see Steph Curry. I do, you know, maybe I want to throw Russell Westbrook in that as well, because to me, he's just cut from that 80s cloth. I mean, he's a raw savage. He's the closest thing to Kobe today.
But here's the thing. Here's the issue with Russ. If this thing in OKC blows up this year, which is a high possibility it does, and they go out in the first round and both Melo and Paul George bounce, he's going to be by himself again. And he's going to look, he has four or five more years in OKC with no help in sight. It wouldn't surprise me if he says, you know what, I'm going to go elsewhere and try this thing that I tried here. It didn't work out. Steph hasn't made in the Bay Area. He just signed a five-year deal, $200-something million. They have a team that's going to be competing and contending for the next at least 4 years, as long as everyone stays healthy, if not longer. By that time, he would be close to like 13 or 14 years in. He's a guy I can see playing close to 20 years or right around that time. Same team. He's going to have a statue. Whenever they build that stadium up in San Francisco, he's going to have a statue in front of that. Because without him, none of this stuff is ever possible. Russ is probably going to have a statue, too. It's going to be a while, but he's not going to have the same hardware as other guys we mentioned early in the show.
It's a fun conversation as well. Jameson, before I let you go, we've talked a lot about Kobe Bryant. You and I have had countless conversations about Kobe, be it here on Drive Time Sports or on the Triple Threat podcast. We've also had several guests come in. I've had a chance to interview Kobe. You've had a chance to interview Kobe. That guy right there signifies everything that I love with the game of basketball. At the end of the day, when you look back on his career, I think you're hard-pressed to find a more fascinating individual. I think you're more hard-pressed to find a better career that will actually, you can visually see the ups and downs and what he was able to overcome, be it his rookie season, putting up the air balls in Utah, to winning three championships, to going through the whole Colorado situation and the fallout with Shaquille O'Neal and playing with three other Hall of Famers for a season in which they came up short, to demanding a trade, to sticking it out, putting up unbelievable numbers, scoring 81 points in a game, winning two more championships, wearing number 24, winning an MVP, and then closing out his career with 60 points. You're hard-pressed to find a more stellar career that is so fitting for a storybook.
Yeah, the 60 points to end it is amazing. Like that, especially at home, like that's really amazing. And all the nerds out there who talk about PR and efficiency, you know what? Sometimes it's not about that. Like a lot of times you can measure efficiency and all that. It sounds good. I get it. That's the area we're in. But sometimes the numbers can't tell you what a bucket does to somebody when you get a tough basket over somebody, how demoralizing that is to the defender that's trying their best. You can talk about PER, efficiency rating, all the O rating, all that stuff. I don't care anything about that stuff a lot of times, because when you're looking at a game, when you're watching a game, especially in a close game, you can't measure when somebody comes down and hits three shots in a row and what that does to a defender, whether it's Tony Allen defending or Paul George or whether it's some random two guard. You can't measure that. So that's why I think a lot of the nerds and the stat geeks out there, they kind of have to find a way to measure both the analytical side and the real eye test, real life side, because there's certain things the numbers just can't tell.
You know, even going past that, there's a specific moment in Kobe's career that I'd be doing a disservice if we did not talk about. We're going to remember him standing on the scores table holding up five. We're going to remember him, as a teenager winning the dunk contest, you know, winning his first championship and jumping into Shaq's arms, feeding up the lob to Shaq in Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals. I mean, we go on and on. I mean, there's all these moments of Kobe Bryant's career that we are going to remember. Really, though, looking at what he brought to the game and even why rivals who hate Kobe on the court respect him on nights like tonight, I mean, is there a bigger moment from an inspiration standpoint than him tearing an Achilles, stepping up and knocking down two free throws in a must-have game?
Yeah, that's the crazy part. I remember. Here's the thing. I remember the game before that where, like, his last great, great game besides the 60-point game where he put up, like, over, I think it was, like, 47 and, like, 15 and something crazy. Like, he had a crazy stat line. And in Portland, you know, that was Dame's rookie year. You know, Dame was having a phenomenal game. I think he had like 35. So it was a crazy game back and forth. Like, it's on the way to win. And I was like, man, like, Kobe's really willing this team to get to the playoffs. Like, if they get in, if they get the right matchup, who knows what's going to happen. But, you know, he really willed them to, you know, he got them in a decent position. And the Golden State game, he had kind of fell down a few times. And it was kind of weird. It was like, all right, he should maybe come out. You know, maybe he should come out because, you know, his legs were kind of just like, you know, failing him. His body was failing him. But he kept on trucking, and he eventually tore his Achilles, and that was that. And then he made the two free throws. But, yeah, I think a lot of it was the game before because he really had nothing left. Like, he had absolutely nothing left, but he put, like, all his – I mean, he put everything into that game. I mean, they had to have a game there, you know, trying to get into the playoffs, and he won it. And that was impressive. That was really impressive.
Yeah, again, I mean, that's just one of those moments. I'll never forget it. I mean, I've seen guys tear their Achilles that have to be carried off the court, and that's not an insult. I mean, that's a devastating injury. We see this all the time. If it's baseball, if it's football, you got to be carted off the field. This guy stood up, walked up, hit two foul shots, and then walked off the court. And I think that just kind of signifies everything. I mean, I think it's a true picture of everything that was Kobe Bryant's career.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, he did it his way, and not a lot of people can do it that way. A lot of people will have to get their careers chosen for them or things happen, but he did it his way, and it worked out. At the end of the day, I mean, I don't think anyone can complain about a 20-year career, five championships, a bunch of all-star games, all that. I don't think anyone can really say that's a good, you know, I don't think anyone can say that's a bad thing. I just don't think so.
Jameson Welsh of BelieveTheHypeNBA.com joining us to talk about Kobe Bryant getting not one but two numbers in the rafters tonight in Staples Center as the Lakers take on the Golden State Warriors. Jameson, I always look forward to the conversations. Thank you again for the time.
Oh, not a problem. Thanks for having me, as always.
We got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return.
Tis the season for shopping, and sales seem to be popping up everywhere. Well, Desert View Federal Credit Union has got a sale for you. How about a car loan for 2.99% APR? That's right, now you can save on interest too by getting your auto loan at Desert View Federal Credit Union. Go ahead, get that new car for Christmas. This holiday loan special won't be around for long, so be sure to get into a branch today.
Membership and eligibility apply. Loans on approved credit. Member NCUA.
There was a day when you could gather your employees around a table for a morning staff meeting, pull out a box of donuts, and everyone got excited. Well, sorry, boss, it just isn't working anymore. We've discovered Big Mo's breakfast menu with a choice of several homemade breads for toast, eggs cooked up just how I like them, and the pancakes. Mmm, so delicious. Dare to change things up to get your staff's attention and have your next morning meeting at Big Mo's. Friendly service, delicious food, and great prices. Find them on 700 East in Price.
Listen to Drive Time Sports weekdays 4 to 5 on News Talk 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM KOAL.
You are listening to the best of Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Time to talk local sports. We got a quick recap during that last commercial break. The Emory Spartan basketball team playing lights out right now. Big win over South Summit. That's a good game, a good team. And Emory finds a way to battle back after struggling offensively in the first half. They still put up 45 points in the second half to grab the win. Joining us right now over the phone to talk a bit about that and more, we have Emory High School basketball coach Todd Jeffs. Coach, as always, fun to get you on the show. Thank you.
Well, it's always good to be here, Jordan.
Coach, it's been a really fun time for you guys as far as the basketball team goes. You guys have put together a really good strand of basketball, and it really goes back to the last time you and I talked. Entering the game against Carbon, you guys were 2-2, picked up a big 42-point win against Carbon. That kind of carried over. It was a 43-point win against Mesa Prep, and then an 8-point win against South Summit. It's been a pretty good strand of basketball.
Well, it has, and I, you know, like I've talked to you before, the biggest thing for me in this preseason is just to get better, and I think that's one thing that I see in our team is each game we're getting better and finding different ways to do things and kind of refining some of the stuff that we want to do, and we're starting to get a little bit crisp on some of our sets, and that's something we've been really lacking on, but we've relied on them pretty heavily against South Summit and got some good shots out of it, and kids knocked down shots, And then, you know, Ty Butler was just really special, and so that was fun to watch him shoot it again. And he's been really consistent that way so far.
Yeah, we can talk about Ty. I mean, he's leading the state right now in three-point makes. It's quite the pace. I mean, he's knocked down 27 three-point shots in just, what, 8 games, I think, so far this season. So, I mean, all in all, he's played really, really good basketball.
Well, he has. He shot the ball real well, and, you know, he's big enough to get his shot off over somebody smaller that they put on him. And then, you know, quite often he's drawn the bigger guy that is more of a help side type guy. And so that guy doesn't want to chase him out to that 3-point line. And so he's been able to find his open shots. And the funny thing with Ty in our offense is we don't run an awful lot of plays just to get him the ball. What he's finding is he's just spotting up and he's got a real good knack of finding that open area. And our guys are finding him and he's shooting with confidence. And that really gives our team a big boost.
And 27 makes in 7 games is definitely an accomplishment. Is that a pace that you could see, not only Tyler, but, I mean, any kid in the state? Can you keep that pace up over the course of a season?
Oh, I think there's kids that are able to. The good thing that I think might allow Ty to keep it up is that he's got a great shooter's mentality. He just doesn't seem to get shook if he misses a shot or two, and he's taken the same shot if he's missed 10 in a row that he is if he's made 10 in a row. And that's kind of uncommon, especially with high school kids. I think even in the pros and college kids, you see them miss a few shots and their confidence gets shaken a little bit. And they're a little less willing to take that next shot. But Ty's not like that. He's really, really got a great shooter's mentality. And he's very willing to take any shot at any time during the game. And so far he's been making them, and that makes it easy for us.
If we talk about the win over South Summit, Coach, it's, again, a pretty good basketball team that'll play you physical. I mean, that's kind of the mindset of South Summit. It was a slow start, actually facing a deficit at halftime, but that offense picked up in the second half once again. And you go back to the two previous games, you guys could have scored 100 points had the varsity played all 4 quarters. That is just something that's unheard of. I mean, you're playing against 3A competition, and you're finding ways to put in 40, 45-point halves. I mean, it's just not something that you see too often, considering that a half is only 16 minutes of game time.
Yeah, I think, you know, what you're saying is exactly right. We're playing a lot faster. We're shooting the ball real well. When we shoot the ball well and it's going in, it's pretty fun to watch. But, you know, like you said, it's a little deceiving. You watch the pros play, and they're putting up 100 and 120 point games. But truthfully, their game time is about, you know, 1.5 times more than what we're facing. And so, to put up points like we've been able to do is really a good accomplishment. And at the same time, I think we're playing some decent defense. You know, we're not phenomenal defensively. We're not real physical, and we're not just locked down, you know, grinded out type of a defensive team, but we're disruptive. And I think our guys are getting out in those passing lanes, and we're scoring quite a bit in transition off some turnovers and that kind of thing. And that really helps our speed of play as well. And our kids have really bought into what we're trying to do. They're excited. You know, they're really playing fast and having fun with each other. And, you know, it's not a team that's selfish at all. Everybody's really willing to pass the ball and make that next pass. And it's a fun bunch to coach.
I'm glad you bring that up, Coach, because I've noticed this year there's been some instances, you know, go back to the game against Mazur where Kyson was just on fire in that for a bad shot just because it's a heat check type moment. I mean, he's still looking to find the open guy. Vice versa, as far as Cade Brazier goes or Tyler Butler, it doesn't matter if these guys are hitting three or four shots in a row. They're still looking to find the open guy, which is something that's hard to that's a hard mentality for a kid to have, especially when you're having success.
Well, I think you're exactly right, and I, you know, give our kids a lot of credit for it and the hard work that they've put in, and they're really, you know, kind of focused on making the right basketball play. I don't think any of them are really focused on getting their own points or feel slighted if they're not getting their shots. They keep coming down possession by possession and trying to make the right basketball play, and they make mistakes, you know, and I'm being patient with them, and they're young, you know. We finished the game with South Summit, I think, with two sophomores and two juniors on the floor for the last 6 or 7 minutes. You know, and Easton Gordon was the lone senior out there, and he's playing hurt. And, you know, so it's just a fun bunch. You know, we're kind of in that innocent climb phase where we don't care who's getting the credit. We're just happy that we're playing successfully, and, you know, we just need to keep making that last.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Todd Jeffs of the Emory Sport and Boys basketball team. Coach, now that you've logged three consecutive wins against 3A competition, South Summit's a very, very good win. Over the course of seven games, how have you seen this team evolve? What are some of the aspects that you've seen improvement on quickly?
Well, the one thing that, you know, I think we talked about it before the season started, my biggest concern was rebounding. And we've actually rebounded the ball really, really pretty well. You know, South Summit is kind of our team's worst nightmare. They're big, they're physical, they're athletic, they're very aggressive. And we got beat in the rebounding department, but only by two over the entire game. And we didn't give up a lot of second chance points to them. And so that's, you know, that's huge for us. If we can do that, we're going to be competitive. And then if you do that and combine it with some good shooting, we're just, you know, we're pretty explosive that way. So the one thing that from the preseason that I'm really taking is our rebounding ability. We're doing a much better job than I anticipated rebounding the ball. And defensively, like I said a second ago, you know, we're not real strong and physical, but we're disruptive. And our guys are really, you know, anticipating that next pass and trying to get a hand on it and letting our defense create some offense for us. And that's been a big plus for us as well.
This could be a pretty important week. I mean, Grantsville on Wednesday, it's a pretty good basketball team. They're sitting at 6-2 right now, and you take a look at how they have fared against some of the competition. I mean, their only losses are to Cypress and Kearns. They've scored a big win over Manti. They beat Cedar pretty handedly. That's a good challenge. And then after that, one more non-league tilt before it's league play, and that'll be against Union, a team that's raced out to a 2-0 start in region play in the 3A classification. It's an interesting next couple of games for this basketball team.
Yeah, it really will be, and I think, you know, Grantsville, like you were talked about, they won a lot of ball games, but it's going to be a good test for our guys because they're big and physical, bigger and more physical than South Summit, and then they extend all their pressure to full court and half court, and they mix it up quite a bit, and they really want to make the game a 94-foot game affair, and so we're just trying to, you know, get better, and it's a great opportunity for us to face full court pressure, something we haven't seen a lot of. Our guys handle the ball real well, so I anticipate us picking it apart and being able to score off it a little bit. But at the same time, you know, it's a big challenge for us because they are big and physical, and so that's something we got to step up and answer to.
Coach, you did allude a little bit earlier that Easton Gordon was playing hurt. He missed the game against Mazur. He comes back against South Summit. It's one of those really weird injuries. I mean, a tailbone injury is something that I don't know if you can really do much treatment on it. I mean, what's the best way to cure an injury like that?
Well, I think he's really on track to try to get it cured, and I think, you know, the most logical or the best way is to rest it, but you know, he's so hungry to play that he doesn't want to really rest it. And we did sit him the one game, and he was feeling better. And I'm sure he was sore Saturday morning, and he went and got some more treatment and some, you know, he's got a couple of doctors with him, and he's doing everything asked of him. And the best thing for him might be this Christmas break coming up to get completely healthy for that region play. And but he's a tough kid, you know. I thought he really made a difference in the South Summit game early in the fourth quarter. He came off the bench again and hit a three and a two that kind of went from a 3 or 4 point game to a 10 point game, and that's kind of where it stayed the rest of the game. And I thought that little series where he hit those back to back baskets really gave us a boost and gave us a little bit of a comfortable lead to finish that game off.
You mentioned that Christmas break, only one more game before you guys go into a Christmas break, and then you play one game against Union, and then you get another break off. And coaches approach the breaks a little bit different. I know in previous conversations I've had with you, you put a lot of emphasis on it because the basketball season is such a grind. And once you get into 2017, I mean, we're talking anywhere from 2 to 3 games a week consistently the rest of the year.
Yeah, it is, you know, basketball, like you said, it's really a 4-month season. It's the longest season in high school sports here in Utah. And so I think for most guys, you know, that rest is important. I think it's important to get away and get refreshed. You know, you've got that 2 or 3 kids every year that if they're in the gym 6 or 7 hours a day, it's still not enough. But for the majority of the kids, I think they need that break and they need that time away. And so it sets up nicely with Christmas to get away from it and let kids, you know, just take a deep breath and analyze where they're at and then get refreshed for that region play that's, you know, 2 months long, basically.
Well, Coach, it's always fun to talk Emory basketball with you again. Thank you for the time. Congratulations on this brilliant stretch of basketball, and hopefully we can keep it going on Wednesday.
Well, that's what the plan is, Jordan, and thanks for all your help. And you know, just wish everybody a Merry Christmas and come watch the Spartans play sometime.
Yeah, definitely. It'll be entertaining. I mean, that's one thing. You guys get up and down the court. That's entertaining basketball for the spectators.
Yeah, it really is. It's fun to play, and it's fun to watch as well.
Coach, thank you. We'll talk again soon.
Yeah, you take care, Jordan.
It's Coach Todd Jeffs of the Emory Sport and Basketball Squad. We've got a break for just a moment. When we come back, more basketball talk coming your way. Tonight, Kobe Bryant will have not one but two numbers raised into the rafters at Staples Center. That's always an important night for a legend in the game of basketball. Immortalized forever with some of the all-time greats. We'll talk about that, his career, and more when we return.
Pinnacle Peak Pharmacy, located adjacent to the Castle View Urgent Care Center, is your new neighborhood pharmacy. Pinnacle Peak Pharmacy accepts all insurance providers and can help you transfer your existing prescriptions over. It's as simple as stopping in and providing them with the necessary information, or you can call them at 637-3667. They also offer the only pharmacy drive-up window in Carbon County. Pinnacle Peak Pharmacy, your neighborhood pharmacy.
News Talk KOAL's Jordan Buscarini covers all the pros and lots more, like high school and college teams.
Straightaway three ball. Good! Phillip Winston from the top of the key.
These are the sports that are closest to home. When you've got a guy like Jordan, you can cover it all. Drive Time Sports.
Here we go, here we go!
Weekdays from 4 to 5 on News Talk. 107.3 FM, 750 AM, KOAL.
Feeling stressed out lately? It might be because of your slow internet connection. According to recent studies, delays in loading web pages and videos increase our heart rate and produce a level of stress equivalent to watching a horror film. Let Emory Telcom help reduce your stress level. With e-fiber from Emory Telcom, you'll get the highest internet speeds available. Internet speeds up, stress levels down. Fast downloads and TV like no other. Lower your stress level today and call Emory Telcom 613-9605.
Listen to Drive Time Sports weekdays 4 to 5 on News Talk 107.3 FM at 750 AM KOAL.
Heartland Radio KOAL 750 AM Price, Utah.